supporting us. I go and say a few words.
Okay. Hi, my name is Rhianne and I'm the CSO at SMR. I'm here today in Bangkok for the SMR Talking Insights sessions. Welcome. I'm here with Xiongming Mu and Nikolai Reynolds from Ipsos. They've just finished presenting because we're at the Asia Pacific conference. So how was it? I mean, let me know.
It was wonderful. I mean, we got a lot of interest from the audience. We got a lot of great questions from them afterwards. So Clearly there's a lot of enthusiasm with AI in this region.
Definitely. I mean, also the questions went very deep, I thought. Thinking about, you know, synthetic consumers and fraud and all sorts of questions, which I thought were really important.
And tell me a little bit about yourselves. I mean, I know Canada and
Germany.
Okay, so
do you start with a C with Canada?
Well, sure. I've been in the market research industry for more than two decades. I've always been in the innovation or new product development area.
Nice.
Obviously, AI has completely changed the game. So, starting from about a few years ago, Nick and I have been very actively looking into engaging new technologies to revamp how we do innovation. I have a methodology and analytical background, so that's why, you know, we work like brothers.
Yes, exactly. So
I love that.
Yeah, I'm leading the product testing business at Ipsos. I'm responsible for also methodology on the product side. We work very closely together. I'm one of those guys where you open the hatch in the ground and I jump out and explain methodologies and then go back into the basement and co-develop with my twin.
I love that. So welcome, twins. I mean, I know there's been a lot about AI at the conference. What I kind of find special about your paper and your presentation, you were really focusing on the new product development, that kind of creative angle rather than pure efficiency. Can you tell us a little bit about that area?
Yeah. So I think large language models allow this kind of creativity now and research. That's, you know, not that humans are not creative, but I think, you know, with all the data sources which Gen AI has been trained on, it can put these interconnections together. And I think you have a nice reference with Leonardo da Vinci on that.
Yeah. I mean, the Leonardo da Vinci connection is, so I always think of the AI type of, AI is capable of the type of creativity that Leonardo da Vinci used to have, which is that he makes wonderful connections between things that seemingly are unrelated. For example, he put the wings on people's back and because he was inspired by seeing a bird. We see a lot of this type of creativity with AI, right? AI has this connectivity and extrapolation capabilities that normal human brains do not have, right? So I was making the case study this morning about a feminine product. AI was able to draw inspirations from adjacent categories, which is female athletic wear and personal care, skincare products, using the trendy ingredients from those categories to inspire the new development of female hygiene. Normally, humans may not be able to do that kind of connection, and AI is able to do that 300 times in a second.
Brilliant. In terms of the creativity, new product development, are you also using like consumer engagement or purely MPD? Or
no, I mean, that's a really important point. So, you know, we always say that imagine, you know, large language models or Gen AI are basically like, you know, an elite student that comes to the company, but needs, of course, on the job training. So they have, you know, learned all the material, read thousands of books, are able to make those interconnections, but don't have no idea in terms of how the job works. So that's why we need to train those Gen AI models on fresh consumer data. That's really important. So make sure that the fresh consumer data is also data which is truthful. And also the better the data is in terms of having a proper consumer engagement by, for instance, including chatbots and receiving a more interactive response than long questionnaires, that is one important source for training. The other source of training is databases. So we always say that, you know, if you think about a database, you can't predict, for instance, in the past what flavor was good would be in the future good. It's more about the structure of the past, which helps us to optimize the algorithms with which we then train the artificial intelligence. Plus, there's other aspect is that we need, you know, the expertise in new product development that needs to be also trained on. So this new student which comes, they need to learn a lot before we actually allow them to work with consumers. And of course, to your actual question on the consumer engagement, I think we should stop using questionnaire scales, which have been developed in the 1930s, 90s. like the Likert scale, you know, in 2024, we should be able to ask questions differently and engage consumers in a different way.
That's clear.
I would just add to that. I think that just to cannot be stressed enough that the secret to successful AI-based innovation cycle is having consumers in the cycle. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not AI is the assistant, as Nick is saying. All of the insights still needs to come from consumers, and AI is just doing a better job summarizing it much faster and do the extrapolations that humans are not able to. If you don't have the consumers in the loop, you can always ask AI a question. Hey, come up with some products. Tell me what are the unmet needs I should focus on. AI will always give you some answers. But a lot of those answers is hallucinated and coming from biased training data mm-hmm. that AI has received in California in those labs. Right. Yeah. So this is really important, especially now we're in Thailand. Because all of the training data that OpenAI or ChatGPT, what have you, have received is primarily English language information, mm-hmm. a little bit geared towards white European descent, those contents, right? So it's especially important when we use AI to generate new product ideas for markets like Thailand. We have to really focus on having AI represent the true Thai consumers' understanding, right? So, and how do we do that is to get consumers to talk, Thai consumers, a representative set of them, to talk about their frustrations, their needs, their aspirations, and then have AI jump in and summarize those data and create new ideas.
And I can imagine with such a diverse market across the region, that's something you have to do, you know, drill down into those specific countries and cultures to understand that. I mean, that's the human side of the consumers, but I mean, actually within Ipsos, you have your AI. I imagine the human intelligence that you already have is very powerful or helps, but I mean, you want to talk around that a little bit? I mean, are you going to be replaced? That was my question. No.
Well, I don't think so because, you know, in our experiments, we've seen that the combination with, you know, between AI and HI, human uh-huh. intelligence, is the best way forward. And where we've done some parallel testing where we look at what humans create, mm-hmm. what AI create, and then AI and humans. And the combination was the best way. In addition, I think jobs will change. There will be a kind of a transition. So, you know, if you think about all the data sources you can use with AI, speaking of social data, speaking of product analytical data, you know, sweetness, this sensory panel data from, mm-hmm. like, for instance, wine tasters or consumers, all sorts of data sources. It's not important if you are in R&D or marketing. Because your role will be basically to curate those insights. Mm-hmm. Those will be coming, you know, through different platforms. So I think the insights manager's role will change. They will be more strategic, less tactical, more proactive than reactive, mm-hmm. and also are, you know, able to think more about aspects such as responsibility in terms mm-hmm. of AI and making sure that they are still, you know, central to the product development, but in a more strategic way.
So the future's bright in terms of imagine.
Very. Yeah. I think things are going to get faster. Things are going to get a little bit more efficient. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's just helping consumers and marketers to develop products that eventually is for the human. So the human is still at the center of everything.
I'm curious, because I mean, you know, Ipsos has been a corporate member with SMR for quite some time. Very present in Athens and Congress, lots of different countries, very global. So, I mean, how are you then? Are you working? I know you're the two brothers, but how does that fit in with the whole? I mean, it's a massive organization. So you connected a lot.
Yeah, sure. So we are what we call the business questionless specialists. Nick and I are, as we have explained, working in the new product development innovation spaces. But there are, of course, a lot of business questions that Ipsos help our clients answer. And then we have equivalents of units like us all over Ipsos using AI to innovate for different research solutions, answer different questions. But we also have a corporate resources that everybody taps into that gets the latest tools, the latest models for everybody to develop our new applications on. So it's a very coherent ecosystem.
And just to add that, you know, when we're thinking about new methodologies such as AI, we work very closely with our clients to also understand if it has relevance for them, because we don't want to develop anything, you know, which they say we don't care about. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, we need to focus on what drives the business, mm-hmm. but also has, you know, positive monetary impact, not only for us, but also the clients. So that close collaboration together with the clients, understanding what they need to solve their problems, that is really important.
Brilliant. So I imagine that taps in a little bit to my kind of final question. And then it's a lot about the technology side, but you're showing the business issue, the client side, the human side. Do you think that's how you make it less of a technical focus? To make it clearer, that's how you're weaving in all those human threads to advance forward? I mean, we sort of talk about responsible innovation and things like that. I mean, have you got any final kind of thoughts?
Well, I think you mentioned responsible, and that is important. We have kind of the philosophy of, you know, truth, beauty, and justice in terms of large language models, but any kind of AI. Mm-hmm. Truth, meaning, you know, that large language models can hallucinate, for instance. They can always provide you an answer, but you need to make sure that the answer is right. It's telling the truth. For instance, like, you know, we make sure that we can challenge AI to, you know, tell us, where did you get that information from, on which you build that idea, mm-hmm. in terms of traceability. The other aspect is beauty in terms of explainability of the results is important. It doesn't help the clients, you know, to receive a huge spreadsheet, which they don't know how to activate. Mm-hmm. So that's why also we make sure that, you know, with human intelligence combined with AI, that we can provide the answer. And lastly is, of course, justice as a dimension, speaking about, you know, making sure that data security is given, that, you know, the data is within a safe haven, it's not shared with the other clients, mm-hmm. or outside the territory of the large language models with the public. Mm-hmm. That is also super important.
Yeah, and I would say Ipsos can get really techy, for sure. Yeah. But the way that we see it is AI is just a tool, right? So no matter how techy the tool is, we use it for reasons that are very down to earth. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it's serving the consumer needs, right? So we are using AI to come up with really fancy, techy, new product ideas for mm-hmm. digital innovations for banks and, you know, new cell phone plans and all of those kind of things. It can be invented by AI. But at the same time, we're also using AI to, you know, generate the next cereal bar, which is, as long as there is a consumer need for it, there is no discrimination whether the product that we generate has tech components in it or not. But the process that we come up to with inventing of these new product ideas is with AI, is with technology.
And I think this is also important that we, you know, Gen AI can produce a lot, but we need to make sure that we validate and quantify at each stage of the development. I think that's also important. Mm-hmm. What I mean with that is the response, what AI is providing. Can we validate that? Mm-hmm. Can we quantify that? You need to operationalize the insights. Mm-hmm. Just as an example, in product development, we need to provide the client the direction that which attribute is influencing that the consumers like the product more, mm-hmm. that they have, you know, kind of an impact factor. So it's always a kind of combination, actually, what we're doing with large language model generative AI, mm-hmm. with kind of analytical AI to kind of predict the impact, which is important, so that we had at each stage of development a quantification and validation.
Brilliant. I have one possibly unfair question. Is there any, so far, something that you learned from a failure or anything like that so far?
No.
Or is it all been experiments going the right way? It was an unfair question.
No, it's good. I can also.
You go ahead.
So in terms of synthetic consumers, for instance, there is a lot of hype going on in terms of how can we just work with synthetic consumers, mm-hmm. which are not existent, and also particularly large language models are, you know, looked at, examined. So if you want to produce, you know, like questionnaire results where you have the closed questions on a 5-point scale, 7-point mm-hmm. scale, large language models don't work there. So we've uh-huh. learned that, and that's why we've changed to deep learning algorithms, mm-hmm. deep learning AI, to solve that solution. So large mm-hmm. language models are not always, you know, the solution to everything, which we need to learn, is one good example.
I mean, it's always a trial and an error. This is true for any new research tools development, and especially true for AI. You know, we had made lots of mistakes in the beginning in thinking that AI is this new magic and
yes.
can do everything. But then we realized that if you really put all of the trust in AI doing its own magic, it's going to go off. It's going to go crazy. At the end of the day, you will not land on what you actually wanted to create. Mm-hmm. Consumers is not going to buy those ideas. So this is where one of those biggest learning that we had in the very beginning yeah. of this journey is realizing the importance of still having consumers in the training data and have researchers monitoring and filtering down on what AI generates.
Just to add to that is, I mean, I would sit here and are speaking about AI, the technological developments are so fast-paced. So while we get up, then there may be a new solution developed or, you know, a new open AI engine which has been developed, which we need to also consider to update our systems. Yeah. So that's something where we were saying, wow, the speed of development, also the possibilities with general intelligence, for instance, which will be happening, image creation, video to text, text to videos, and so forth. Just basically, it seems as limitless, but we need to carefully analyze the potential of everything. So one of our jobs right now is really to assess what makes sense and what does not make sense, where do we spend our time to focus.
I mean, even from an ESMA perspective, I'm just going to add that, you know, when we do a call for speakers in, for our Congress, like in every January, and people submit theirs. And then by the time we get to September, their story has had so many updates since they originally submitted because things have happened and everything. So I also see that from an ESMA perspective.
Even on this paper, we had that.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was 2 years ago in Amsterdam for the Congress and someone said, oh, we're covering AI, are we? And I was a bit worried. I thought, well, I don't really remember. And then on the day, it arrived. So it's not going away.
No, it won't.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks so much for your presentation and sharing that. Also, your paper's available for anybody who wants to dive deep into that, that's available. And enjoy the rest of the time in Bangkok and the conference. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the invitation.
You guys organize a great event. Yeah.